You know, what does that mean, Dre, to not forsake the gathering, and why is it so important?
Another great question. I'd say it's so important because the more you forsake the gathering, the more you'll struggle with sin. The more you will find yourself looking like the world. The more you will go further away from what God's people are like, and you'll go further to what the world looks like. I think there's many Christians that look more like the world than God because they spend more of their time with non-believing friends and don't actually read the Bible in their spare time and don't have Christians that they meet up with. So I'd say it's one of the most important things I've seen in my Christian walk.
We live in a world where there is more access to information than ever before. Generations, young and old, are being exposed to radically different ideologies and opinions every day. It can be so overwhelming, trying to decipher what's true and what's false. But there is a way. Join me as we discuss some of the toughest questions out there about Christianity, the Bible, and culture. I'm your host, Nick Lackey. Welcome to The Garrison.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Garrison. Today is episode 50. So it's a milestone on The Garrison. Hopefully, there will be many more after this. But thank you, everybody, for your support so far in listening to The Garrison. I really appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to the future of The Garrison as well. Man, looking back, 50 episodes, it's hard to imagine we've come up with that many topics. Part of the reason why is because I'm recycling my guests, and that leads me on well to say that today we have Andre Tomkinson, who, if you're a long-term listener of The Garrison, you will remember him from episode 6, which was called From Dark to Light, Andre Tomkinson's Testimony. So Dre is back. He's a good mate of mine, and he's back to talk to us about what it's like being a Christian for a year. Okay, this might seem like a weird conversation topic, but the first podcast we did, you had only been a Christian for what, three months?
About that, eh?
About that. And so that was a really great episode, and it's actually one of the most listened to episodes of The Garrison. But we talked a lot about, you know, the initial things that happened in your life, I guess the fruit of your conversion straight away. And it was an amazing episode. You shared about how you went out and straight away you were sharing the gospel, how your life had been changed. You'd got a new heart with new desires, and you truly had been born again, right? And this is what we would expect from a conversion and someone who is born again. However, now it's been, what, a year and 3 months since you've become a Christian. And today we want to talk about, you know, what's changed, what is, I guess, the long-term effect. And often I think when someone becomes a Christian, you can have this, you know, honeymoon phase with Christianity, where straight away, you know, you're just filled with joy, you've been saved, it's amazing. And this is a feeling that I guess we can always have as a Christian, but eventually, you know, the trials come, the tribulation, the temptation comes. And that's what I want to focus on today. And I want to talk to Dre and hear about how he's responded to all of that. And hopefully this is going to be an encouragement to anyone who's in a similar state in their Christian walk. So Dre, before we get into the first few questions, can you remind us, and perhaps if there's a listener who hasn't heard that first episode, remind us who you are and what you do.
All right, my name's Andre, as Nick said. So what I do is help people understand the gospel and share it. I think that's my full-time role as a Christian, and always will be, hopefully. Also, I did a bit of cheeky gardening on the side, get the bucks rolling in. But yeah, don't do that anymore. Do an internship for Pathways Bible College and OAC. Yeah, so that's been really cool so far.
Cool. Yeah, I think this time last year you were, was it doing that woodwork?
the wood job
and pallet gardening as well. Yeah, but now Dre's moved on to, yeah, basically full-time ministry, doing studying and sharing the gospel as well, which is super encouraging. So, Dre, let's get into it. You know, last time we chatted, as I mentioned before, you were, I don't like using this phrase, but you were kind of on a high, right? I mean, you were seeing the results of your conversion quite significantly, and people were seeing that as well, right? People at our church, they were noticing that you truly were a new creation. But at what point did things kind of settle, and did the challenges start to become greater?
Good question. I'd say I had about 6 to 8 months where I was on that peak of just this is the best time of my life. Like literally realizing God's grace and mercy and love for me every day. Realizing and just remembering that throughout the day, praying in thankfulness of him and who he was. But I think that started to go on a decline about maybe 8 months where, I just didn't have that same joy always throughout the day. And, as you said, trials come. So I think it's been about that long. But, I'd say the first 6 to 8 months was just amazing. And I think now it's just trying to remember what that was like, remembering the first fruits of God working in my life that I can carry on and persevere. So I think that's really helped me seeing God's faithfulness and his work at the start to keep me persevering through the tough times. Eh?
Yeah, I remember asking you throughout those first kind of 6 to 8 months, I say, how are you, Dre? You know, as you do when you see someone and you just say, oh, couldn't be better. And I loved it. I mean, you still do say that sometimes, but as we're talking about, you know, things have started to become a wee bit more challenging, right? And this is the truth of the walk as a Christian, is that it's not all just going to be this spiritual high where every day is just the best day ever and you're just enveloped by this feeling of joy. Mm. You know, the truth is, this life that we're on, that we're in right now, there will be trials, tribulations, and persecution as well. And Jesus promised us that. And if we look at examples in Scripture, even though there were people who had been saved, or they were, you know, God's chosen people, you look at some of the prophets as well, many of them went through some tremendous hardships, right? You look at someone like Jeremiah, or you look at someone like Paul, they went through some tremendous hardships. Mm. And there were times when they weren't, you know, full of this happiness and this inexpressible joy. Mm. Now, I want to clarify as well, as a Christian, we can always have this joy that we have been saved, and that we are being sanctified, and that ultimately our destiny is in the new earth, right? That Jesus is preparing for us. But at the same time, we can go through life and have struggles and hardships. So, Dre, why don't you tell us about the kind of first big, downhill part of your journey? Not that you were falling away from God or anything like that, but the kind of first big challenge where you started to really struggle with where you were.
Good question. I'd say the more I was getting involved with ministry and sharing the gospel and practical side of ministry, the more I was realizing the reality of spiritual warfare. The more I'd go home and like be probably more attacked than I've ever been in thoughts and just feeling. I started to feel a lot more tired, just less energy. I found it a lot harder. And I love reading my Bible, don't get me wrong, but I found it a lot harder to open it. I found it a lot harder to reach out to God when in time of need, even when time of not needing anything. But I just found it harder to reach out to what I knew helped me. And I know prayer helps. I know God listens. And I know reading the Bible helps so much, and it has. But it's just, after that full-time ministry, it sometimes feels like, oh, let me do something else. I've done the work for the day. I've done a bit of God's work here, so let me just chill out. But I think that's the more when you see temptation coming in, you're tired, and it's just, I think that's when it's really difficult, when you maybe have a bit too much on your plate at sometimes. So I'm learning when to say no and to just chill out and rest in God. But I think that's been a lot of learning for me, and still is, for sure.
And I think that's the reality of being a Christian as well, is that when we go and do what we're commanded to do, where we pray, read the Bible, and in particular preaching the gospel to the lost, that's when the attacks will come. I mean, why would Satan bother trying to attack or put down someone or a Christian who does nothing with their beliefs, right? If they live their life, no one knows they're a Christian, they keep it to themselves, maybe they read the Bible every now and then, but, you know, what use would the enemy have to attack that? He's happy with that. He wants people to be in that situation. Yep. But when we step out in faith, and when we start to fight the spiritual battle, when we start to actually proclaim the gospel to the lost, that's when the enemy has a problem with us, and that's when he's most likely going to attack us. So as Christians, we need to be ready for that. We need to understand the spiritual battle that we're in, and we need to have some strategies in place for when that does happen. Because I completely agree with you, Dre. I've been in that situation as well, right? And I mean, and I still get into that situation when I feel really attacked by the enemy. I feel really discouraged, or as you're saying, it could even be physical tiredness as well. And so, Dre, in your experience, what are some things which have helped in these times, and what are some things which haven't helped as well?
Nice. I think a big word you said was discouraged. I think it's so easy to get in that cycle of being discouraged. But then you think of Romans 5:8, got it in there. For God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And if you think of that, you think less in a legalistic worldview, in the sense that God only loves me because I'm preaching the gospel. God only loves me because I'm praying five times a day and reading my Bible like a good boy. But it's remembering who we were when God saved us, and what God has known that we've done, what actions and thoughts he's seen, but still chosen us to enter into his kingdom. And I think remembering that reminds you, okay, how can I be discouraged by my own actions? That's not even what pleases God in the first place, but it's through Jesus that I can please God. So I think remembering that, and that it's by God's grace, helps you not get discouraged as much as in your own actions, because, I mean, he knows who we are. He knows what we're going to do. So I think remembering that is a big encouragement.
Yeah, and if we judged, if our feelings were based off how we were doing in our Christian walk, then most of us would be pretty sad most of the time, right?
Yeah.
And so a great point you make, you know, we need to remember that God's love for us isn't dependent on what we do for him. It's unconditional, really. You know, he loves us no matter what we've been through. And that verse you pointed out is exactly right.
Mm.
God demonstrates his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so, yeah, that's one of the biggest mistakes we can fall into as a Christian, is falling into these cycles of discouragement, because maybe we think we're not doing enough, or maybe we've fallen into sin, and so we think, oh, God's not as happy with me, or he doesn't love me as much, you know. No, remembering that his love for us remains constant. So what about some things that didn't help?
I think the biggest things is just time away from God, to be honest. The more time you spend away from God, his word, in prayer, the more time you'll struggle with everything. And I think the more you try to do things in your own strength, the more you realize how much you need God's strength. Because I think when we try to do it in our own strength, it just humbles us, realizing who are we to think we can do this or that, and fight temptation and not sin when we're not seeking God in his word and prayer. So I think it's a basic answer, but read the Bible and pray. Even though it's really hard to do, sometimes you know all the Bible verses to remember in trials, but if you can't apply it, it doesn't do much for you. So I think remembering what Matthew 7:24-27 says, when Jesus says, if you hear my words and obey them, you'll be like the wise man who built his house upon the rock. But if you hear them and don't do them, you're like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. That when the trials came, when the storm came, it broke. And that's like our faith. If we don't build it on Jesus and his sayings and live by what he has told us and hear what he actually has to say, then we'll struggle. So I think that's been a big part of it.
Yeah, and you mentioned as well off camera that another thing we need to make sure to do is to not forsake the gathering of the believers, right? And this is found in the book of Hebrews. But, you know, what does that mean, Dre, to not forsake the gathering? And why is it so important?
Another great question. I'd say it's so important because the more you forsake the gathering, the more you'll struggle with sin. The more you will find yourself looking like the world. The more you will go further away from what God's people are like, and you'll go further to what the world looks like. I think there's many Christians that look more like the world than God because they spend more of their time with non-believing friends and don't actually read the Bible in their spare time and don't have Christians that they meet up with. So I'd say it's one of the most important things I've seen in my Christian walk, and it's one of the only reasons I am where I am today, still pushing on, because I've had those Christians around me, surrounding me, encouraging me, loving me in the Word, knowing what is to come, that, yeah, there are trials, but we have eternity in Christ. So to have people around you encouraging you in that, I think you need that.
Yeah, and realizing that we're all fighting the same battle as well, right?
Yeah.
And none of our temptations or trials or even persecutions, none of them are a thing that you're facing alone, in the sense that, you know, we know that Christ is with us. He promises that he'll be with us in Matthew 28. But the other thing is that our situations aren't, although they may be unique in one sense, they're not in another. You know, there's been so many Christians throughout history who have gone through these trials and temptations and persecutions that you're going through right now. And the worst thing we can do is to distance ourselves from other Christians who maybe have some really good advice. Or maybe they're there to just listen and give you some encouragement during that hard time. And I mean, in Proverbs 27, verse 17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And that's part of the purpose of the church, right? Is that we can be like two bits of iron that sharpen one another. And if we distance ourselves from those people, then that's not going to happen. So another question was, you know, when it says do not forsake the gathering, does that just mean church on Sunday?
I'd say no.
What does it mean?
I'd say, for example, I try to go to Bible study on Monday, Bible study on Tuesday, prayer meetings when I can. It's just when you have that opportunity to meet with believers, take it. And I'd say the more you're meeting up with people, reading God's word, the more, I think Psalm 119 verse 11 says, I store up your word in my heart that I would not sin against you. So the more we are filled with his word and meditating on what God is saying through his word, the more we will not sin. And I think a really encouraging way to go through the word is with other Christians. And I think that's a big part of why you need other Christians, but just to have fellowship with, to have conversations with about God, not about, I mean, everything else that's going on. We can look at these terrible things going on, but if you don't know who's in control, then it's looking pretty scary, looking at the world at the moment. But knowing God and who he is, and I mean, we've got the book of Revelation to know what actually happens. You just encourage your brothers and sisters not to fear, but to read God's word and to be encouraged in that and pray.
Yeah, and reading, I was just reading from Acts chapter 2, where it's talking about the early church, and one thing they did was they met together daily. I mean, so often as Christians, we can think, oh yeah, we'll meet together at church once a week, and that's my meeting together with the brethren. But if you're having one day, and often it's, you know, 1 or 2 hours with Christians, and the rest of your week in the world, I want to emphasize, it's not a bad thing to be in the world, we just don't want to be of it. And if we're not meeting together with other Christians, then, you know, 95% of our time is going to be spent in a non-Christian space. Now, it's vital that we are in a non-Christian space to be light to the world, to be proclaiming the gospel. But it's very important for our own spiritual journey as well, our own Christian walk, to be with other believers. And in Acts chapter 2, after Peter preaches his sermon, it says, from reading from verse 40, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. You know, this is the explosive growth of the early church. Continuing on from verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. This is not a command for communism or anything. This is just saying this is what they did, in their context, this is what the, the disciples or the early church did, right? But they had this beautiful community. Now, finally, reading from verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I mean, can you imagine if that happened in this day and age where we were just daily meeting together and then going out to the street and preaching the gospel and people being saved? And you just had this, I mean, that would be the, you know, your purpose in life, to go and make disciples, to grow Christ's church in Christchurch. And I just think it would be so awesome to see that happen in our city and wherever you're listening to see that in your city as well. But the point I want to make is that these people were meeting daily. It wasn't just they met together for 2 hours on Sunday or Saturday or whenever. You know, they met together daily to ultimately have church. Right? I mean, the word church doesn't mean a building. It doesn't mean a service. The church is the body of believers. And the things they were doing together, and this is the reason we have a church service, was that they were having fellowship, breaking bread or you know, eating together and doing communion. And praying together as well. And there's another scripture later on in the epistles which talks about singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, right? We need to be praising God together. And when we do all of that, I mean, I heard an excellent analogy, and it was talking about how we are in the church compared to a ember in a fire. I mean, what happens, Trey, when you take an ember or like a little coal and you remove it from the fire and you just place it next to it? What's going to happen?
Slow down.
It's going to slow down and it's going to cool down.
Yeah.
Right? Eventually, it's not going to glow orange anymore, right? It's not going to be an orange ember.
Yeah.
And it's the same of us. If you remove the Christian from the church, they're maybe not in every circumstance, but there's a good chance they're going to lose their fire, right? Because they're not being stirred up in this community of Christians. So, yeah. And you can see here as well, final point, and then I'll let my guests talk again.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It says that, and then fear came upon every soul. This is talking about the early church, right? Like fear came upon them. We see later when Peter and James are imprisoned and James is the one who's killed, that they are in fear, right? These guys were going through, I would argue, you know, much greater trials and tribulation and persecution than we are, but they stayed together and they encouraged one another and they got through it because of that. And so, you know, Dre, you were talking before about making sure that we don't forsake the gathering, but what are some other ways that we can be together with Christians even when we aren't physically together? Because this is one advantage we have today that the early church didn't have. So what is it?
Technology.
Technology, right? Exactly. I mean, how can we be staying together in fellowship with other Christians on technology?
I think encouraging your brothers and sisters is a great way you can use technology, if that made sense.
Brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah. No, but I think the wording was a bit off. But accountability as well, that's a big word. But I think so often we think when we don't feel God's presence that we're alone. Who else do we have? And I think knowing that you've got another group of people your age to be able to talk to and keep you accountable and encourage you is a really practical need for every Christian, especially for a Christian who's new. You need accountability, and I think so often when we fall into sin, that can just lead into a downfall of discouragement if we don't have anyone who can encourage you in God's word and be there to keep you accountable, to not keep falling into the sin, or to help you just grow in your faith and give you advice. So I think it's a big part of what you need.
Yeah, and I think accountability is so much more than just admitting when you've sinned. I mean, we should be doing that. We should be confessing our sins to one another. That's commanded in Scripture. But it's also, you know, letting other Christians know your struggles. Maybe one day you're really struggling with a sinful thought. You need to let them know so that they can be praying for you and encouraging you. And sometimes even just letting someone else know the struggle that you're going through is enough to really help you individually get through that struggle or through that temptation.
Yeah.
And when you've got that It doesn't have to be a massive group, but I mean, for example, you and I, we're in a group chat together, right? An accountability group chat. And it's where we can both confess sins, but we can also ask for encouragement from our brothers in Christ. Mm. And that's really, really, really helpful. Mm. And there has been time after time when there's a number of guys in our group chat, but there's been time after time when, you know, someone will have a testimony of when they just admitted, hey, I'm struggling at the moment. I need you boys to pray for me. And the boys got together and they prayed just wherever they were in the country, or you know, it doesn't matter, we're all on phones. And so we just got together and prayed, and that person made it through the struggle or made it through the temptation. And so that's such an advantage we have this day and age, is to be able to communicate through technology. Mm. So if you're a listener and you're a Christian and you don't have, I mean, find people from your church and just start up a group chat on Facebook or Snapchat or whatever, it doesn't matter. But start that group chat up just so you can have accountability. And even if it just starts off with, you know, an encouragement chat where every day you wake up and you send a verse of encouragement. I mean, have you ever done that, Dre?
Have I sent verses of encouragement?
Yeah.
Maybe not much.
Might have to start now.
It's a great idea. Why wouldn't we?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've got one guy in our group chat who does do that, and it's great. But I mean, you do it as well. Maybe not Bible verses, but you're not sure if you have.
Stay strong.
I'm sure you have. Yeah. Even just a few words to encourage the guys is a great thing, and it can be so encouraging in times of trouble, right? And so, yeah. Is there anything else you could add? I mean, you've nailed the main three, right? Prayer, stand connected to God. The Bible, reading the Bible, which again is staying connected to God.
Every day, find the time.
Without fail.
Every day.
Right? And then not forsaking the gathering. Right? And you can do that in a number of ways, but go to church, go to a small group, do Bible study with people, pray together with people, hang out with Christian friends, right? If you think your Christian friends are boring, then...
Get new Christian friends.
Get new Christian friends. I mean...
Up to you.
What would you do, Trey? You don't have boring Christian friends.
Just dip out to another church.
Talk about the Bible with them. There you go. Talk about the Bible with them. That's super exciting. Talk about end times. Talk about the second coming of Christ. But
preacher.
Yeah, let's not go there. Might have to mute that part up. We have to be doing all of these things, right? So is there anything else you would add, Trey?
I think this is something I've kind of had revealed to me earlier in the day, but... I think when we sin, sometimes I remember, like, as a kid, crying, like, because you've just tripped over or fallen, hurting yourself, and then you're just in a grumpy mood, so you're just whining to your parent or whatever. But then you're so stubborn that you actually don't move. You're just going to stay where you are. And then the parent, like, starts walking away, and then you're crying even more and just, like, yelling, and then you eventually run back. But I think so often we stay in our sin. We fall short, as we do every day, but then we stay in it like as if we don't apply the gospel, which means we don't apply Jesus and his sacrifice for our lives, and that when we have sinned, we have Jesus, the propitiation, big word, but the sacrifice, the one who atoned out, paid for our sins, that we can then go to God knowing that we've been made righteous in Christ. And I think that's something that we need to be doing every day, because I think I talk to people about the gospel a lot, but I think it makes it all that much more harder knowing the gospel to apply it to my life, in the sense that when I sin, I can go straight back to God and say, Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry, but thank you for Jesus and what he did on the cross. So I think that's an important reminder to, don't be stubborn and stay in your sin, but God wants you to return to him.
Cool. Yep. Yeah, and finally, Dre, what are some things which have happened throughout these challenges and trials? You know, what are some good things which have come out of it? If there is something.
There definitely is. I've actually got a verse here. I'll read it and then come back to the mic.
I'll just sit here and watch you while you read it, get it into your memory, just when you're ready.
So it says, talks about tribulations. This is Romans 5. Tribulations creating perseverance. Perseverance, character. We need character. And character, hope. And this hope will not disappoint for...
Oh, just check it again. Make sure you get it right.
because the love of God has been poured out.
You know, you can read it and speak into the mic at the same time if you want.
You said don't lean away from the mic, so I'm just trying to be cautious. Has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So I think remembering that these trials, yes, they can be very hard. And I've heard a lot of people who go through a lot harder stuff than anything I've gone through. But remembering that we will be resurrected through Christ, and remembering that there is a day where we will return and have no sorrow, have no pain, and remembering that we can hold on to the promises of God. I think that's a really important thing to hold on to in trials. But just remembering that God knows what you're going through, and there's a purpose in it. So I think that's cool.
Yeah. So how's it changed you?
How's it changed me?
You know, how have you grown from it? And have you grown from it?
I've definitely grown from it. Right. Definitely
in
grown.
In what ways?
And well, I think patience. I think you've got to be careful what you pray for as well, because I think when I was a new Christian, I prayed for patience a lot.
And then God gave you situations where you had to be patient?
A lot of red lights. a lot of things that made me struggle. But now I can look back and be like, there's no way I could have ever gone through that and been patient in that situation. And I can just see God's faithfulness in using those things to actually build our character and make us stronger and be able to walk in righteousness, not in sin. So I think knowing that these trials actually do something, and I mean, for God works all things for the good of his people according to... What was it?
Do you want to find that one again? Romans 8:28. Yeah.
Or is that a bit loud?
That's fine, man. People might mind a few page stands.
And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So I think that's a promise right there, right? Mm. So if you can hold on to things like that, to God's word, it really helps you push through and remember that, yeah, God is changing us, and he's changed me. I think patience is one of the biggest things, but also just... I think a lot of the time when I was an early Christian, I based a lot of what I was doing on my feelings, in the sense I was always joyful, so I wanted to serve. But I think now, realizing you don't always feel good, a lot of the time you don't feel like reading your Bible, praying, but being disciplined, and I think that's a big way that my character's grown.
Yeah, awesome. Now, thanks for that, Dre. That's the final point I want to finish on, is that whatever trial, tribulation, persecution that you are going through, or temptation as well, God will use that
100%
to grow you in your character. And I've seen it in my life time and time after again. In fact, two episodes ago, I just did an episode on suffering and talking about this, how God will use our suffering to grow us in our character. And you and I, we both wouldn't be the people we are today if it weren't for various different trials and persecution and temptation that we have gone through. You know, it really does grow your character. And so, yeah, and being your friend, Dre, as well, I've had a close-up view of this, of seeing you go through these trials and watching you and seeing how you have grown from them, right? And so maybe we'll do another episode a year from now and see how that's happened even more. But yeah, for now, Dre, thank you so much for coming onto the show. I'm sure the listeners really appreciate it as well. I truly do. And I think it's really important that we do highlight these not so glamorous parts of Christianity. These not such wonderful things about Christianity, and we highlight them and we say, well, this is a reality. How are we going to deal with it? So thanks for coming on to the show and revealing that. Is there anything else you want to say before we wrap up?
Don't put a parachute on for comfort. Put it on because you're going to have to jump out the plane. I think remembering that, like, we don't put our trust in Jesus and turn from our sin because an enjoyable life and life full of happiness, we do it because there is a day we die, but Jesus has made a way that you can live.
It's a day of judgment, right?
That's the, amen.
The plane coming apart. Awesome. I love that analogy.
Yep.
Anyway. All right. Well, thanks, Dre. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, please make sure to leave your comments, share it around, leave a rating. hopefully a 5-star, but I'm not, you know, be honest as well. But yeah, let's make this episode another one which gets lots of views for your sake, Dre, because I love your testimony. I think it's so inspiring, and I want lots of people to hear it. So thank you once again, everyone. We'll see you on the next episode of The Garrison.